I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. It's episode 2 of Glamour's podcast, Hey, It's Okay. The podcast where we like to force a celebrity into a cupboard and make them talk to us. And welcome, one and all, to Glamour's episode 2 of Hey, It's Okay, our brand new podcast. Thank you very much for joining us today on our sort of like live features meeting. It really is a look at what it's really like to work at the Glamour office. This is the kind of absolute rubbish we talk about on a daily basis and try and make into content for the magazine and in print. And this week I have, as our special guests, we have Lindsay Frankel, Glamour's assistant editor.
Hello.
James Williams, Glamour's associate editor.
Hello, hello.
And how exciting, today we have the absolutely fabulous pop star and television presenter extraordinaire, Ms. Rochelle Humes.
Oh, thank
hello.
You.
I think that deserves
can
a little
I just yeah. say, I was not forced into this cupboard. I'm enjoying this cupboard. I'm nosing and everything.
What you don't know is you're never getting out again.
No. As we say, when you sign up for Glamour, you get full on octane glamour.
Well, this is exactly
in a very
what I
ironic
expected.
Way.
Yes,
yes,
the
exactly.
irony, the yes. irony, guys.
Just don't ask to go to the loo because I don't want anyone to see those.
It gets worse.
It does?
No.
Oh my word.
So tell us what you're up to, Rochelle. I know you've got two huge shows coming out soon, haven't you?
Yes. Me and Stephen Mulhern, the lovely Stephen.
Well, as your publicist well knows, I'm rather obsessed with
me
Mulhern.
Too. Yeah, I think it's an easy thing. I'm like, I wanted to be friends with him and now I'm working with him and he actually wants to be my friend, so it's quite exciting.
He's quite Marmitey, but I love Marmite.
Me too. So yeah. There we go. Yeah. Me and Stephen have taped a new show which is airing in November. Uh-huh. I'm really not very good with
what's
dates
it called?
And stuff. It's called The Next Great Magician.
Ooh.
Which is good. So real Saturday night entertainment. We're on the search to find the next great magician, which is good.
And are we just going to be blown away every week, or are we going to be seeing the, you know, the invisible strings on the
well,
pack of cards?
Unlike other shows, we're not sort of, you know, seeing, you know, normal punters come in and try and sort of turn their hand to magic. We're seeing like world class magicians that are already sort of top of their game all over the world. So what's good is Stephen's a magician. Yeah. I don't know if you know, he's part of the Magic Circle.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yes. So he's sort of coming from the standpoint where he knows how it's done and he's really impressed, where I'm just like a punter that thinks it's all amazing.
Yeah. Do you think it's really magic?
Yeah. I actually don't want to know how it's done.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean? Do we think it's really magic?
It is magic.
Heretic. What's wrong with you?
Yes. So yeah, that comes out in November and then Ninja Warrior is back in January. Which
Ninja
I love.
Ninja Warrior. It's amazing.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I have so much fun on that show.
Have you actually done it yourself?
No, I haven't. I was going to pretend and Cammy every year has a reoccurring injury, but you know, I'm just lazy and that's the truth of it. But what's good is it's a show that everyone loves. My friends want to come and watch, my friends' kids, and yeah, it's a real one.
Have they done a celebrity version? Would they do a celebrity version?
We did last year for Tech Santa.
Right.
And my husband actually took part, which was really interesting.
I was going to say, that could sort of like, that sort of thing could really make or break a relationship. If you see something a bit girly going on.
Yeah,
you'd be like,
absolutely
those.
That. Yeah. And you know, Joe, what happened was is we sort of watched it together at home, and he just is a proper couch punter that sits there and says, oh, I could do that. I've got that. You know, it's not that hard for a show. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. And then he came down and was in massive shock. I was just, please don't embarrass me at my workplace. I don't want to be laughed at.
How did he do?
He did okay. Did he do 5 out of 7 obstacles? I think he did. So he was okay, but he got rope burn. And it was a sad time.
Where did he get the rope burn?
On his hands. precious little
Michelle
hands.
Michelle might not know. I had a bit of a fixation on Marvin for a while, so I just
did you? Did you? I mean, spend a day with him, see if it's still there. See if it's still there.
I want to know in what world you would look at Ninja Warrior and think, yeah, I could do that.
I do not know, but that's my husband for you.
Right. Yeah.
But to be honest with you, he is that annoying person that when it comes to sport will actually try and be. And generally be quite good at everything, which really sickens me.
He's
so
annoying.
I was actually quite pleased to there be something that he wasn't as good at.
His Achilles heel.
Yeah, exactly.
Only doing 5 out of 7.
And I was there to laugh at him, don't you worry. I was there to laugh.
You're keeping him grounded. It's
good. Absolutely. Character building.
Has anybody actually... See, I'm one of those awful people who, as long as they're not really hurt, I love it when people fall over or embarrass. Is there any where you've actually thought maybe someone's like died or something?
Yeah, well, the series that we've just taped... You know, it's sort of like you say, there's something really funny. As much as you don't want to laugh, when someone, like, it's like a comedy dive, isn't it, into the water? It's something pleasurable about watching that.
Yeah.
But we had quite a few injuries this time. We had a few shoulders out, which wasn't good. And we can't run the course without a paramedic being there. Yeah. So our paramedics were busy that day. I think we had 4 in a row that really hurt themselves. So we had to pause and. Yeah, I felt a little.
You could really troll the men by telling them they're real pussies if they need the paramedics.
Do you know what I mean? Absolutely.
I love those ones when they start off and they're really cocky and they go for that first one and they're like, yeah, I can do this, and they're straight in the water.
Well, this is it. You showboat at the start. It just goes wrong.
Yeah.
It goes so wrong. We had a gladiator last year.
Original gladiator.
So we were like, you know, perfect show for you. Come on and smash it. And he fell out of the first hurdle.
But he must be a mature age gentleman.
I think he was in his 50s now, but he looked incredible. Incredible.
You know you're going to get roped into doing it, don't you?
I know. Ben's done it as well. Ben Shepherd, he's done it, and he did really well. He got to the top and hit the buzzer. So I think that's where me and Cammy were like, we're not going to do it.
Because he's super sporty, isn't he, Ben? He's like...
He's a machine.
Yeah.
He makes me walk everywhere. I'm like, should we Uber it to the next place? No, Rochelle, we're walking.
Yeah, but he's not in heels, to be fair, right?
Yeah, I actually sent in the invoice for Mike to get my shoes re-heeled. So I was like, Ben, this is all you. I did not want to make that trip.
I have to say, that is something that men do not understand.
No.
They really don't.
No, they really don't. Yeah, it was a press day across town and he wanted to walk between, you know, between each interview and each appointment. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all.
Now, you are such a fixture on television now. You've done so much presenting. I've done a few things with you, like The Extra Factor and This Morning and things like that. Is the pop career done, or is that just something that you is still...
Do you know what? TV was always my first love. I started before the Saturdays. I was doing kids' TV, and I absolutely loved that. I was doing a show that Fern Cotton Dunn and Reggie Smile. It was on BBC every Sunday morning. And that's sort of why I think I feel so comfortable. But I still love music. That's still very much in me. But I'm sort of... lucky and fortunate that I haven't had to sort of pick a lane, because, you know, me and the girls are together, but everyone's trying their hand at their own stuff, which is quite nice. It's quite a nice position not to have to say, I want to do one or the other.
Do you still hang out? Or
Yeah. I was with the girls at V Festival the other day, which was pretty messy. it was a messy
one. It's traditional, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you just keep losing everyone, but me and Vanessa, it was a messy day at V.
Well, speaking of hot messes, it might be time to turn to our heated debate topics. What do you say?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Absolutely.
So first up in our round of Hey, It's Okay debate topics today, it's the kind of thing, Rochelle, that we spend many hours wasting time on
this
at Glamour.
Fun.
Because you never know. You never know what's going to spark an idea. And
absolutely.
The first topic we have today is, hey, it's okay to not like being hugged. Let's discuss this. Now, this is something that our Lindsay... came in ranting about the other day, so I'm ceding the floor to you.
I just don't like being touched by people I don't really know. And I just think if you go in with, I don't know where you stand on this, Michelle, but if you go in for a hug, like, where do you go from there?
Yeah, you got to commit. I mean, if you're going in, it's
and it's like, you know, we've only just met. Can we do a handshake and then maybe progress to a cheek kiss?
That's what I think. Coming from Australia, that's what I think's really changed in this country, particularly in, darling, we all work in the media.
Yes. Air kisses and
I find I don't know. I remember at school being taught how to give a firm handshake. Mm-hmm. Well, now they probably teach you how to do a, you know, a nice big wet snog, as far as I can tell. You know, people you've just met, like, you know, planting moisture on your face.
Also, I know. It kind of has the opposite effect. It's meant to be a kind of welcoming thing, but I just stiffen up
greeting,
and stand there like a board thinking, when's it going to be over? Put me down, don't touch me.
And how do you know when to stop?
Good question. I mean, when do you start? And do you do a kiss first?
I guess it depends how much you're enjoying it. You know what I mean?
Well, the reason that, you know, like sometimes you get the squashiness wrong. Like you kind of, you go in for a bit of a tentative and they're like squishing. Right. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's just fraught with,
I think, as well, it's a bit of a London thing as well, because I think in the regions, you don't. There's very much like a bit of a, you know, from Wales, and I think you're north.
Well,
you know,
I grew up in Manchester. I don't know. I mean, I can't really remember.
God, so uptight.
I know. We're very tightly wound in the regions.
But
the thing is, obviously, I've been indoctrinated now, so I totally do it. But
do
I think
you?
That, well, I
are
think
you
because
hugger?
It's part. Well, yeah.
You're in this world now.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think it really is. But I think generally the people on the street would think you were crazy if you just met somebody in a shop and they go, oh, thanks for helping me buy this. And here's a big stopper.
You're so right.
But actually, Michelle, you were saying about how you kind of grew up in this industry where, like, touchy-feely is, like, the language, isn't it?
No, is this going a bit U-tree?
Where are you going with this, Frankel?
I come from the standpoint where I don't actually like to shake someone's hand. I find that more invasive, especially if you're met with a clammy.
Sorry about that.
A weak, wet handshake.
I probably hugged both of you today, by the way. I'm so sorry. I know, Joe, so it's fine. But
we're so far in now, I didn't even register.
Yeah. To be honest, we're now ensconced in a sweaty room together.
We go way back now.
I would sort of rather do a lean and say hi and like a sort of pretend sort of air kiss and actually have to touch.
Well, because
like,
my question for you is, because obviously, you know, Dermot's back on the X Factor. He's renowned, isn't he, for hugging the public. He's there, that shoulder to cry on.
I take a Dermot hug.
I mean,
sure.
But then, deal a lot now with people coming on Ninja Warrior, for example. Mm. Would you like get involved? Would you hug them straight off the back?
And you know, a lot of the time they might have fallen in the water, which is how I end up, like,
the wettest
really
of hugs.
Just wet. Yeah. But on Extra Factor, when I was hosting that last year, there is a lot of hugging, and I think people, as much as obviously Dermot offers them, people just want a hug at that point. And what are you going to do?
I think it's interesting as well. But if you actually look at things like Big Brother and all the other sort of reality shows, I definitely think the younger, I sound like such an old fart saying this, but I think the younger generation do seem a lot huggier.
Yeah.
I think younger people are possibly not as uptight as we are.
So you're saying basically my problem is my age. That's the issue that I have here.
We are tightly wound old people.
You know, it can go horribly wrong, though. I actually wrote in the current issue in my editor's letter, I nearly killed Giorgio Armani, you know.
What?
In a social hug.
No, why? You were too tight?
No.
She doesn't know her own strength.
It was a store opening of his brand new Emporio Armani store on Bond Street. And he was there. It's like, you know, quite a big thing.
Great.
He doesn't really make appearances abroad that much. And there he was. And he was sort of like, it was like the meeting the Queen, you know, it's like a procession of people handshaking. And they said, oh, and here's Joe Elvin, the editor of Glamour. And I put my hand out and he put his hand out. So I went for the handshake and he pulled me into a hug. And I wasn't expecting it. In high heels on brand new white, overly polished ceramic tiles, and I fell on him, and we did a like really horrible kind of awkward shuffle of a thing. And I mean it was
a fashion 911, wasn't it?
Really,
if
I nearly,
ever there was an
fallen.
Argument for not hugging.
that's it.
It's dangerous.
There.
Well, he started it. I just want to say that.
Do you know if someone, because people do that, they pull you in, but if you then they want to go for one kiss, do you go for two?
Sometimes it's three.
Sometimes three.
Yeah, it's very French.
When does it stop?
No, three's excessive. Yeah. I'm not for three.
And that's the final word on that.
Done.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's okay for girls to want boys' food. Now, before everybody gets upset with me by trying to define girls' or boys' food, this has come up because we've noticed, and an old colleague of ours, Amy Abrahams, wrote about this in her blog, we've noticed that the restaurant world and the advertising world wants to define boys' and girls' food. My husband, ever since I've known him, for about 3,000 years, I think, by this point, he has always been a vegetarian.
Right.
We go out for dinner together. I normally, because we eat vegetarian at home, I take the opportunity to have a big hide of cow.
Yeah.
And you know, I order a steak.
Big steak,
yeah. He orders a vegetarian meal. I am not joking, without fail, the waiter or waitress will always put the vegetarian meal in front of me and I'll always say,
no, sorry,
switch it around. Friends of ours have said that, you know, if they're out and they order an Americano coffee, the boy always gets that and when he'd ordered the latte, you know. So has anybody else found this as a phenomenon?
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Weird, I found this the other day. I was out with my flatmate, male flatmate, and, you know, hot summer day, so Aperol Spritz and a white wine. And I could almost sense judgment from the barman that two men were drinking essentially not very manly drinks.
I love an Aperol Spritz.
I know, but
I only had my first one yesterday.
Yeah. But I felt the real glowering sort of shame.
Judgment.
Yeah.
More manly. Yeah. Have a pint of bitter.
Exactly. What's wrong with you?
Does Marvin like any questionably feminine foods or drinks?
Maybe a cocktail. Like if we go out together and I'm like, can we? I mean, he'll probably kill me for saying this, but you can.
You have a pint and he has a.
Yeah, I've got a Corona and he's got a porn star martini. But you know, just occasionally, you know, you just fancy it, and I wouldn't assume.
But I love girls that drink beer, so I think it's. I'm really surprised. Like, I would always double check when I, you know, we've all done like waiting and barista jobs and stuff in the past, and I would always double check. I would never just make that assumption.
Yeah.
It is baffling to me that
I find that it happens with the bill.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes I'll just be like, okay, I'll get this one. And Marvin's quite old school with his approach of like, no, I'll get it. Always, even though we're married, I'm like, it's coming from the same pot. It doesn't actually matter.
Married.
Your card on mine, we're both taking the hit.
Do you think you're going to be impressed?
I know, right? Like, you're not wooing me. It's fine. I signed on the dotted line. It's way past that. But people will always put the bill in front of Marv. Well, always.
I can be out with like four female friends and me, and they will always put the bill in front of me.
Yeah.
But nothing will top. I was in France earlier this year, and it was possibly the most sexist meal of my life. I went into a 5-star restaurant in France with my family. And the first alarm bell rang when we noticed that my mum and my sister didn't have prices on their menu. But all the men had prices on the menu.
No way.
And then there was like a palate cleanser, kind of mousse bouche type thing between courses. And there was a man's one and a woman's one. They'd made like calls. I said, oh, well, this is clearly what men want.
This is interesting. So what do men like as an amuse
bouche? Because
an amuse bouche is quite a girly thing anyway.
I think the man's one was quite fishy because obviously girls can't stand anything too powerful or tasty. And the girl's one was something like melon.
Like lemon, you know, or something. Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't withstand anything too strong, can you, girl?
No, I do find,
I don't know if this is a sexist thing or a celeb assumption thing. Whenever we do the Glamour Women of the Year Awards and we have caterers come in and sort of like audition to do the food for the Glamour Awards, there's a seat 500 people at, and they always come with this menu that's got no bread. And we're like, yeah, we're going to need some bread. Everyone's been drinking for an hour beforehand. We're going to need some bread. There's always like a bit of fish and a bit of lettuce or something. And we're always
Where's the carbs?
Yeah.
Celebrities don't eat carbs, right? Yeah. It's just the assumption.
According to catering companies.
Yeah. I mean, fashion and carbs do not.
They do not live in
my
house.
They don't go, yeah.
Come to Milan with me, baby. Yes,
I know.
Well, that's what I love.
It's a cheese odyssey.
But as one of the sole pretty much the sole, maybe one other man working at Glamour, the one thing they always ask is, what do the girls wear and what do they eat?
Yes.
And they're always astounded when I tell them they eat burgers, they eat chips, they drink beer, they go to the pub, you know.
So well, I used to find that when me and the girls were around gigging or we would be, you know, appearances, and it just, lunch was never a thing. I'm like, sorry, what time are we eating lunch? And everyone was always shocked. Like, that wasn't factored into the schedule here because what, we're in a girl band and we don't eat.
Oh, we can lose half our day talking about what we're going to eat for lunch.
Yeah.
We had to ban actually talking about lunch till about 11:30 or 12. We get nothing done.
And then after lunch, we talk about what we're going to have that night.
I know, it's terrible. But,
no, it's true though.
The issue that I have with this kind of women's food, men's food thing is the way that it's marketed. Like, anything that's meant to be for women is either really twee and a bit pink and cupcakey. I mean, I just do not want a cupcake anywhere near me. I'd rather have a big plate of chips, frankly. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to have, like, you know, something that's
you don't want the cupcake.
You're not going to have a yogurt, are you? That's what we always talk about.
Or a fat-free one. If I'm having a yogurt, it's going to be all fat.
That's the thing. It's either really twee and pink and sort of fluffy and ridiculous looking, or it's pitched on how little fat and calories it's got.
Yeah, it's never stodgy enough.
Exactly. It's just, I hate the way that it's sold to women in that kind of, well, these are the things that you want. You'll want a pink treat, or you'll want something that's got 3 calories in it.
Yeah.
And like, you can't just eat a normal meal.
A salad with some quinoa.
Yeah.
Or the chocolate bar that's aimed at men because it's chunky.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, what is that?
Or a pizza.
Yeah.
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 Mighty meat or whatever they call it. Yeah.
So that's the thing, and I certainly don't fight with my husband over what to eat. We both just always go for a curry.
Oh, that's
good
just
for vegetarians,
like,
and meat eaters alike.
Yeah.
But I bet you anything they'll put down the spicier curry in front of your husband.
Probably.
And the one full of meat.
Honestly, we need to start this revolution now.
It begins here.
Absolutely.
Should start a catering company.
God, don't ask me to be in charge of that.
Next up, now this topic may surprise some people, but you'll not believe the amount of hours we have lost to this in Glamour, Rochelle.
Right.
Hey, it's okay to put your bra on like a little girl. Now, I put my bra on like a little girl, and this has divided people in the office. I've had people on Twitter telling me to grow up. Basically, I can put a bra on what's considered the normal way.
When you pull it at the front.
I always bring the clasp around to the front so I can see it, hook the eyes, and then
and
turn
twist
it around.
Yeah.
Some people are outraged by this, including Miss Frankel.
What? How else do you do it? What, just put it on and do it up. It's like,
how long do you think my arms are?
It just takes too long.
Very broad back. I mean,
that would take me so long. Yeah, would no. It? Yeah, I'm with you, Jo. I thought that was the only way.
But honestly, people get really upset. People have been really upset with me about this.
I have to say, as a man, obviously, I'm not that I'm running away from that. Well, I'm not running away from that side of my sexuality at all. But I mean, I've never actually put on a bra, believe it or not. But it was hilarious the day that this blew up in the office. And I didn't realise there were so many variables. My favourite one was the girl that admitted she put it on like a vest, where she actually did
it up.
She peels it on over her head.
See, but that sounds like a shoulder dislocation recipe.
That sounds like you get ready and then you're really hot. No, I've always done that. Maybe that's because that's how I got taught.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you get into a habit when you get your first bra, and then that's it forever.
But since I got told off on Twitter and told to grow up, I have tried. But it takes me, another 3 extra minutes, and I need that 3 minutes. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You could just pretend you're doing it the right way around.
But we were saying as well, there's a girl in our office who's actually got a broken arm at the moment. Mm. Lucy, our fashion editor. How's she doing it?
Well,
she's not bothering.
Well, no, I asked yesterday, and because I didn't say, it's like, how are you doing your bra up? It's the topic that runs.
Burning question, always.
Seriously.
This is fascinating.
We ask everyone who comes into Glamour that question. How do you do your bra? What she's doing is she's got some of those sports bras that you can just pull over your head, because she's got the cast on the bottom half of her arm and on the kind of wrist bit, so she can pull a sports bra over her head and just so it hasn't got any clasps.
Oh, she's going for comfort at the minute. Oh, that's quite nice.
I admire her commitment as well, because I would think a broken arm is a perfect excuse to not wear a bra.
Yeah. I know, but well, sometimes I can't not wear a bra.
I was going to say, James, you need to try being a woman yeah. without a bra on. And...
Typical man, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've had a child, they flap around.
Well, my boobs are all bra. If I don't have a bra on, I've literally got none. It's all padding.
What there is left, it's like someone's deflated a balloon in my bra.
But what I always find fascinating is the number of women that wear the wrong size bra.
Because
lots of girls I know are actually quite phobic about going to be measured for bra. So why is that? Explain that.
Well, it just seems an unnecessary chore.
I'm not going to name the company, but as a reputable one where you're supposed to go for the ultimate measure, I had the worst experience where I was like, she sort of like looked at me, brought me a bra, and I was like, I couldn't breathe in it. I was in pain, and I said, what size is this? Because I can't breathe. And she went, 34... B, and I went, see, I'm normally a 34C. That's why it's so tight. She went, no.
Oh, no.
And I went, well, I'd rather have the wrong bra because I'm in agony here. Yeah. She went, right, and just turned around and just left me there.
Oh, no. See, I never
went back.
I do find that bizarre. Yeah. If you've been wearing the same bra for like however many years and then someone tries to argue with you.
Yeah. Also, it's like part of your identity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, then
someone did say to me, and again, I might be wrong here, but somebody said to me, it's a bit like you should treat your bra and a bit like you would your glasses prescription. It does change every sort of year to 6 months. So you should actually go and
Amen,
be measured.
Amen, sister. We know that.
Yeah. I think lots of girls do just think they can just wear the same size from puberty through to motherhood.
Yeah,
through to,
exactly.
You know.
Your body changes, obviously, through various... And, you know, it changes... Anyway, week by week, depending on what's going on. But I do think that one of the issues women have with having their bra, the size measured, is that more often than not, it comes back bigger than you thought it was.
Always.
So you always think, oh my God, I've put on weight. Which is ridiculous, because that's not what it means at all.
They
it
try
just
and
means
give you
had the wrong
back.
Size before. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The cup size, I don't mind. But don't give me a bigger back.
And I'm sure Marvin doesn't either.
For me, it's just another unnecessary appointment. It's like, do you think I've got time? It's like...
So this one fits fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And, you know, but then also my issue is I always come out a cup size smaller. I'm like, oh, don't take away the small amount.
I was holding on to that.
Come on, but mine is. I think it must be having a child. They're just like a couple of flapping old piping bags.
Oh yeah, it's not cute. It's true though. It's really not. And I just try and strap them up the best way possible.
But when pregnancy,
when you break your arm doing Ninja Warriors, now you know what to do.
Yes,
you get one of those sports bras.
It's an education in here, Michelle.
I got a bit jealous of that. Anyway, I might do that anyway. I'm all for the comfort. Give me a sports bra.
That's an extra like minute and a half of you not having to like twist your bra around to do it up.
Absolutely that.
Well, we've put all the important issues to rights today, haven't we?
Yes,
I think so.
I feel really like I've achieved something.
I do.
The House of Commons got nothing on this cover.
No. I feel like I know that I put my bra on like a child.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We need to take this to the UN, Michelle. Yes. We've got some important work to do.
Where's that Game of Thrones shame there? Shame.
So thank you so much for being here with us today,
Thanks
Michelle. It's been an
me.
Absolute
Michelle.
Treat
thank
as usual.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to James and Lindsay as well for joining me. I've been Jo Elvin. This has been James Williams, Lindsay Frankel and Rochelle Humes. Yay. When are we going to see you on TV again?
November.
Yes.
Count the sleeps, everybody. It's going to be awesome. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.